Miss Pearl's Parlor, May 25th, 1923. The air smelled clean from the pleasant rainfall that had just quenched the dusty West Texas town of San Angelo. Along the river, the leaves of the trees danced with delight in the soft springtime breeze. The sun was warm as the clouds cleared to reveal a beautiful bright blue sky. The Lady Pearls were sitting on the porch that wrapped around the three-story stately mansion known as Miss Pearl's Parlor. Each of them was reading a different book. Harmony was strumming her guitar. Daily reading was mandatory because Miss Pearl wanted her girls to be interesting conversationalists. She had exceptionally high standards for intelligence, beauty, and grace. These qualities were appreciated and seemed to attract a more sophisticated clientele with money to spend. Maggie had chosen a book of poetry written by Veronica Franco, a celebrated Venetian poet and courtesan of the 16th century. Accused of casting spells and having too much power over men, Veronica had been tried by the Spanish Inquisition for the fatally punishable crime of witchcraft. At her trial, she was redeemed by the efforts of the noblemen who knew her.
Listen to this, everyone! So sweet and delicious do I become when I am in bed with a man who, I sense, loves and enjoys me, that the pleasure I bring excels all delight. So the knot of love, however tight it seemed before, is tied tighter still.
With that, Maggie whimsically held the collection of poems to her heart, closed her eyes, and smiled.
Isn't that beautiful?
Ginger wasn't buying it.
Maggie, sounds like you're reading fairy tales. Knot of love is a bit of a stretch, don't you think?
Redbird went to Maggie's defense.
I know what Veronica means. It's about appreciation. I've not known many, but when you get a man who really knows how to make love to a woman, it can be like a beautiful dance and quite delightful indeed.
Miss Pearl had been quietly listening to the conversation among her girls. She slowly took a sip of mint tea, then spoke. Indeed, you are quite correct, Redbird. When a man really knows how to enjoy a woman and appreciate her many gifts, the memory of that experience can live in her heart forever. This is because a woman completely gives with her heart, mind, and soul when she is appreciated. Sounds to me like Veronica Franco enjoyed her life as a courtesan.
Sounds to me like she had some good lovers.
She probably did, Heather. Lucy chimed in. The men loved Lucy's wit and charm.
I agree with Heather. A good lover can put a girl on the moon when he does everything right.
Harmony was always telling what was on her mind with songs.
Cuddle up a little closer, baby mine.
Ginger looked at Harmony and rolled her eyes.
You're in the same fairy tale as Maggie.
I used to sing that song to Robert, Harmony. Lucy decided to make it real.
I know it's all just a fantasy game, Ginger. A game I like to play, even if it lasts just a little while.
Katie offered her opinion.
My daddy always said, if you love what makes your living, You will never work a day in your life. If I could do anything, I would choose to become a Texas Ranger, but that will never happen. I think Daddy always wished I had been a boy. He taught me how to shoot. I sure do miss him.
Betsy suddenly became melancholy.
I miss my daddy, too. He's probably setting tobacco and planting corn right about now.
Heather was always grateful to Victoria for rescuing her from Tony in Chicago.
I, for one, can say I really love working here. Of course, I know I won't be here forever, but it seems like the best choice for now. I have to say, the money is much better than any kind of job I could find.
Lucy offered a poem by D.H. Lawrence.
What do you think of this one, Ginger? A woman unsatisfied must have luxuries, but a woman who loves a man would sleep on a board.
It is true, I do have expensive taste. I admit I do love French perfume and the feeling of silks and satins on my skin. As far as love, Lord knows I've heard the word plenty of times, but no one I would sleep on a board for.
Annabel was usually quiet. She offered her opinion.
I was in love once, and I would surely sleep on a board if I could be with him now. In fact, I think I would do just about anything if I could be with him again. The smell of rain always takes me to our magical day on the lake together.
I know how you feel, Annabel. I believe true love comes once in a lifetime.
I think I'm going to take Rusty for a walk by the river. Come on, boy.
From the front porch of Miss Pearl's parlor, there was a beautiful view of the Concho River, gently flowing with tall pecan trees standing along its banks. Mosella came outside to straighten the chairs and sweep the porch, singing one of her favorite spirituals. Miss Pearl trusted Mosella with her life. It was her job to make sure life at the parlor ran smoothly. She was in charge of the house cleaning staff, food preparation, and keeping the grounds manicured. Mosella also collected the money. She was best known to the girls for her knowledge of Bible scripture.
Psalm 147, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass grow in the mountains.
Why do you always quote the Bible?
My grandmother named me Mosella, after Moses himself. Every day she used to quote the Bible to me. I suppose I'm just carrying on the family tradition.
Look, Miss Pearl, someone's walking towards the house.
A young woman wearing a simple peach-colored cotton dress and carrying a brown suitcase was making her way to the mansion. She was slender and medium in height. Her clear, light skin had just a touch of sun, making her look as if she were blushing. The young woman looked up at the women on the porch. It was obvious she was a little fearful and unsure of herself. Pearl always had an eye for a pretty face. It was good for business.
Excuse me, ma'am, are you Miss Pearl?
Yes, I am, dear. The young woman pulled a letter from a small leather bag.
A very nice gentleman, Mr. Swanson, told me to come see you, Miss Pearl.
I see. Ladies, I believe I would like to have a visit with this young lady. It's Friday night, and the weekend is at hand. You know we are expecting our cowboys to show up tonight. Go into the house now and start getting ready. The young women gathered up their books and returned them to the library inside the house. They were talking and giggling with excitement. The girls loved it when the cowboys came to town. Somehow, showing them a good time just didn't seem like work. Mosella looked at the young girl standing by the gate and then at Miss Pearl.
She reminds me of a young lady I met in Chicago a few years back.
Come up on the porch, dear. Mosella, would you please bring us some iced tea?
Yes, ma'am. Psalms 104. Some wandered in the wilderness, lost and homeless.
Sit here, dear. You look tired. What is your name, honey?
My name is Emma Grace, ma'am.
You are quite pretty, Emma Grace.
Thank you, ma'am. I've fallen on some hard times, Miss Pearl. I have no place to go, and Mr. Swanson told me I should come and talk to you about a job.
Emma Grace quickly handed her the letter. Pearl opened the envelope, put on her reading glasses, and began reading the letter out loud. May 23, 1923. Dear Miss Pearl, I hope this letter finds you well. My purpose for writing is to introduce you to Emma Grace. Her father was a lunger, and they came to West Texas when he became ill. Unfortunately, her father died of tuberculosis in Carlsbad last week. He was a good man and strong in character. I recommended that Emma Grace contact you, as I personally hold her in good standing. With kind regards, Mr. Charles J. Swanson. Good old Charlie. He always had an eye for a pretty girl. Well, Emma Grace, tell me about yourself.
Mother died when I was born, and Daddy and I came to St. Angelo several weeks ago. He had tuberculosis. They called him a lunger, and he has been in the sanatorium in Carlsbad. I guess it was too late for my daddy. He died last Thursday. There isn't much money left, and I'm afraid I don't know what to do.
Tears filled Emma's eyes, and she quickly looked down at her hands folded tightly on her lap.
I have nowhere to go, Miss Pearl. I have an aunt and uncle back in Missouri, but they have 7 children already. I certainly don't want to be a burden.
Mosella walked out on the porch and handed Emma Grace a glass of cold mint tea. As she turned to go back into the house, she raised her eyebrows at Pearl and smiled. Thank you, Mosella. You are quite lovely, Emma Grace. Did Mr. Swanson tell you about what we do here?
Yes, ma'am, I know.
Emma Grace looked at Pearl with all the courage she could muster.
Miss Pearl, I have never been with a man before.
Pearl was taken by Emma's sweetness and charm. Somehow I knew that, dear.
But I'm sure I can learn.
Pearl liked her. I have an idea. Mosella could use some help with some domestic chores. Can you cook?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I have been cooking for my daddy my whole life.
Well, at least you won't go hungry, and we can put a roof over your head. Another pretty face at the parlor is always advantageous. Emma Grace, I believe you could do well in my business. However, I do not want you doing anything you are not ready to do. Why don't we give it a few weeks and see what happens? Come on in the house, honey. Mosella will be happy to have the extra help right now. It's Friday night, and the girls are bubbling over with excitement. We are expecting cowboys tonight. Miss Pearl walked through the big oak door of the huge mansion on the Concho River she had come to call home. Emma Grace, quickly gathering up her suitcase and overcoat, followed her into the parlor. Never before had she ever been surrounded with such elegance. As they walked from the Spanish-tiled foyer into the grand room, she could smell the soft scent of roses coming from a fountain by the west wall. The 14-foot ceilings and crystal chandelier made her feel like a princess walking into a palace.
It was so kind of you, Miss Pearl, to give me a job. I really am a good cook.
You are welcome, Emma Grace. As long as you are useful, you may stay until you know what you want to do. Emma Grace had never seen a house so grand. Fresh spring air gently blew through the open windows, making the lacy white curtains hanging throughout the house look as if they were dancing. The great room was decorated with oriental rugs, mahogany tables, and plush velvet couches. A 10-foot Steinway stood silently in the corner of the room, poised for someone to sit on the bench and bring her to life. Mosella, wearing a powder blue cotton dress, a white duster hat, and a clean white apron frock, entered the room with a stack of fresh towels in her arms. This is Emma Grace, Mosella. I have hired her to help you in the kitchen. She says she can cook. Mosella looked approvingly at Emma Grace.
I can see why you invited her in, Miss Pearl. There's no doubt she's a pretty one. Come on, honey. I'll show you the kitchen and the room where you'll stay.
Emma Grace followed Mosella through the kitchen to a small room with three beds. Mosella was friendly but firm.
This is where you'll sleep. There's some clean aprons in the closet. You can hang your things in there and put your suitcase under the bed. Get your pretty self ready now, girl. There's work to be done. The cowboys are coming tonight, and they will surely be hungry when they get here.
As she walked back into the kitchen, Emma Grace could hear her say,
Proverbs 22, he who is generous will be blessed. And Miss Pearl is truly generous.
Emma Grace laid her suitcase down and sat on the bed for a moment, crying grateful tears.
Thank you, God. I know I'm here for a reason, and I also know you will help me figure out what that reason is.
She wiped her face, changed her clothes, and walked into her new life. Emma Grace's prayers had been answered. Meanwhile, prayers were also being answered in Big Lake, Texas. Earlier that day, at the depth of 3,050 feet, the Santa Rita No. 1 clearly showed the presence of gas and oil in the Permian sands. After years of dreams and a year and a half of drilling for oil, the Santa Rita No. 1 was finally hitting the pay. The whooping and shouting resounded so loudly in Big Lake, Texas, the man in the moon could hear it. The men stopped the drilling and within 18 hours had secured over 30,000 acres of oil leases from surrounding landowners. San Angelo was on its way to becoming an oil boom town.